Tonight's message is going to be a little different. Because typically, I think when we go to church, when we hear messages, we like to hear some, like a pastor or whoever's preaching, give you like a motivation or like advice in a situation, you know. You want to hear like, God's going to change your life if you do this, or if you give up this, God's going to bless you in that. And that's good. I'm all for that. I love challenging messages. I love to give challenging messages. But I think tonight what we're supposed to do is I'm just kind of supposed to talk and almost give like a lesson almost. We're just going to talk about like the foundations of our faith. So if you're cool with that, I'm going to do that. Oh, and we're starting a new series. It's called Resurrection Sightings. Later in this month, there's going to be a little holiday. Who knows what that holiday is? Easter, yes. So leading up, we're going to be talking about Easter, why we celebrate Easter, what does it even mean, what does Easter entail, and why we still talk about it today. And tonight specifically, I'm going to be talking about the big deal of it all, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Who knows about the resurrection of Jesus in this place? All right. I think a few more people know about it than the hands I saw, but that's okay. The resurrection, I mean, it's one of the most important aspects of our faith. It's the whole reason why we do this thing, and I'm going to talk about that a little more tonight. So it's very important that we talk about it. And why am I going to spend a whole sermon talking about how important the resurrection is? Because it's important to know what we believe in and why we believe in it, you know? Many of the people in this room have had our lives changed by God at a camp or a retreat, or maybe in this room, God's changed your life and he's spoken to you in some way, shape, or form. And that's amazing. That's awesome. Thank God that he's changing your life and that he's blessing you in that way. But it is so important that we grasp on to what we're believing and why we believe in it. You know, the Bible, it's like anyone in school here, I hope everyone's raising their hands. All right, so you know how like when you have like a final exam, like at the end of your semester, you know, homeschooler kids are sweating right now. That was a stupid joke. You know how like when you have a final exam coming up and you want to kind of like cram and you want to just take notes and learn as much things as possible, right? So you're good for the test. The only reason why you're studying and why you're learning this information is so you can pass this test. What happens once you're done with that test and it's summer break? You lose all that information, right? You don't remember any of it. Conversely, if it's a subject that like you're actually interested and invested in, you're going to learn that information and you're going to take it to heart, right? You're not going to forget that. We want our relationship with Jesus not to be like some exam that we're studying for. We don't want to just pass. We want our roots sinked in deep to what we believe and why we believe in it, you know? The Bible talks about like if you have a seed and if that seed is not does not have roots planted deep, then it's not going to last, you know? We want deep roots in our faith. We want to understand what we believe in and why we believe in it. And that's why we're going to talk about it. Because if we're not rooted deep, then we can't expect to last. So let's get into it, all right? So again, I'm going to be in Luke chapter 24, and this is talking about the resurrection. But first, I want to give some context. I know we all know the story. Most of us probably know the story, but it's just so important that we just understand what's going on. Jesus was sent here to earth by God the Father to save humanity. For he was here to rescue us and save us from our sins and from the evil one, the enemy. And Jesus knew this all along. If you read the book of Matthew, I have it on the screen. Matthew 17, verse 22 through 23, he's talking to his followers. He says, it says, after they gathered again in Galilee, Jesus told them, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of his enemies. He will be killed, and on the third day, he will be raised from the dead. And the disciples were filled with grief. Now, I want to point out, when Jesus said this to his disciples, this was before he was crucified, before he was risen. This predates the crucifixion and the resurrection. He knew what was going to happen. He knew why he was sent down to earth. He was sent down to earth for a purpose. So Jesus is here on earth, right? And he's preaching. He's preaching with authority. He's preaching with passion. He's preaching in ways that the religious leaders at the time never even thought was possible and was very confusing and scary to them. So, of course, this made a lot of those people in charge pretty mad. So they made a plot against Jesus to bring him against the Roman government, to have him crucified on a cross, so that he could be silenced, essentially. So Jesus is betrayed, he is taken into authority, and he is tortured, and he is killed on the cross, and he is buried in a tomb. And as he is doing that, his disciples and his followers are in a state of extreme sadness and depression, because all their life they had been told that the Messiah is coming, the Savior is coming, the King of Kings is coming down to earth, and he's going to save us. And they just watch their king die an embarrassing and horrendous death. So, of course, they're just extremely sad and depressed and feeling lost, because it feels like their hope just totally vanished. And that's what leads us into Luke 24, verses 1 through 12. It says this: "But very early on Sunday morning, the woman went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They had found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, 'Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee?'" That was the verse we just read in Matthew. "That the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day. Then they remembered that he had said this. So they rushed back from the tomb to his 11 disciples and everyone else to tell him what had happened. It was Mary Magdalene." Ooh, I said that weird. "Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and several other women who told the apostles what had happened. But the story sounded like nonsense to the men, so they did not believe it. However, Peter jumped up and ran to the tomb to look. Stooping, he peered in and saw the empty linen wrappings. Then he went home again, wondering what had happened." You see, this is what it's all about, people. It's all Jesus has risen from the grave. That stone is rolled away. That grave is empty. What happened? You know, it's kind of dark to think about, but death is one of the most real things here on this earth. It's one of the most definitive things on this earth, because, you know, there's no coming back from death. So you would think. You know, we have this preconceived notion that, like, what is dead is going to stay dead. And we kind of live by those rules. And that just, like, clouds our thinking, which is why this is such an emotional and powerful scene that we're witnessing here. Here, Jesus has risen from the dead. He looked at death, one of the most definitive and permanent things here on this earth. He looked death straight into the eye and he said, "No." And I think that's worth praise in this room. Sometimes I think we tend to gloss over the resurrection because, I mean, you know, if we call ourselves Christians, we all know about it. We're all familiar with it. We know that Jesus died on a cross and he rose from the dead 3 days later. But I think if we really stop and think about it, Jesus rose from the dead 3 days later. How amazing is that? How amazing is it that the Son of Man defeated death and evil for all time? I don't think we should be passive about this event. I don't think we should be dismissive about this event. I don't think we should just take it with a grain of salt. This event deserves so much rejoice and so much praise with every fiber of our being. We should be rejoicing because our God, our Savior, has defeated the grave, has defeated death for all time. And I think that's something to be joyous about. You know, Why are we talking about the resurrection? It's because the resurrection is the cornerstone of Christianity. Our entire belief as Christians is centered on Jesus Christ being the Son of God who defeated the grave for you and for me. You know, 1 Corinthians, I think, puts it really good. In the 15th chapter, the 14th verse, it says, "And if Christ has not been raised, then all of our preaching is useless and your faith is useless." If Christ has not risen from the dead, then what's the point of us doing what we're doing here today? The resurrection is absolutely crucial to the message of Christianity, which is what you and I believe in. If Jesus had stayed dead and didn't rise from the grave, I mean, he would have just been considered another prophet, a martyr, a mortal man, a liar, maybe. Not in any way would he have been deemed the Son of God. Luckily, we can have faith that Jesus was the man that he said he was, that he was the Son of God, and that he was the Son of Man, and that the miracle that we see witnessed in this chapter 100% happened. You know, I am far from a theology major or an apologetics major. I actually didn't do too good in that class in college. I'm in Bible school, if you didn't know that. And I did not do too good in the theology class. But I can tell you this, there are plenty of things about like this time period that points towards the events of this book, the resurrection actually occurring. And I'm not going to bore you. I'm not going to give you like some history and science lecture. But I mean, there's a few logical things that we can think about that really can affirm our faith. I mean, the tomb is empty. Oh, well, maybe someone grave robbed it. Maybe the Romans grave robbed it. Well, the tomb was already a very guarded place. It was heavily a looked over area. And if the Romans or the high priests were to like take Jesus's body out of the tomb, wouldn't they want to like display it somewhere to prove that Jesus was not the Son of God, that he was just a man who was dead? Wouldn't that make more sense than to never show it again? That makes no sense. How about the various accounts of people that saw Jesus after his death? You know, in 1 Corinthians, it talks about he appeared to over 100 people at one time. And there's various other accounts, firsthand accounts of people who saw Jesus after his resurrection. How about the fact that all the disciples and all the people that saw Jesus, his 11 disciples, how about the fact that they all were tortured and died and became martyrs because they believed in Jesus and they believed that Jesus rose from the grave? Do you really think someone is going to commit themselves so much to where they are tortured and murdered just because of a lie? How about the fact that the early church, his first few disciples, went from being super, super sad because their Savior died to being absolutely joyous and ecstatic in their early ministry? Why would they do that if their Savior had stayed dead? And again, I'm not a theology or an apologetics expert. I leave Pastor Dennis for all that. But I want to stress that this is something you can believe in. And if it doesn't quite make sense, you know, faith is going to have to take its course, you know. Logic can only get us so far. Science can only get us so far. I think Oppenheimer said that. At some point, faith has to step in. But anyways, the resurrection, it's important. It's crucial to our faith. It's important to you. It's important to me. It's important to everyone. And we can have faith in it. How is it important, though? How is the resurrection crucial to us? Well, I'll tell you. Because of the resurrection, evil has been defeated by God. You see, before the resurrection, mankind and God were not in great standings. There was a bit of a severed relationship between man and God. Ever since Adam and Eve, in the beginning of time, first sinned, evil entered the world. Evil corrupted the world and brought out chaos and disorder. Because of mankind's mistake, you know, us as humans, we're naturally corrupt. We're naturally bound to make mistakes and to choose death over life. However, God had a plan, and this is pretty awesome. In order for our sins to be wiped away, to be slated clean, you know, something has to take our place. Something pure has to take hold of our impurities. Not only that, but something that would take the weight of the world on it, and can still do the impossible. And this is exactly what Jesus is for us. He is that perfect, spotless lamb that took our sins. He is the pure thing that took all impurities in the world and atoned for us. This was God's plan all along, for Jesus to be a sacrifice for you and for me so that we can be in right standings with him. And this plan has been constantly moving. It's one of the oldest plans ever. If you look in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verse 15, this is immediately after Adam and Eve ate the apple and were hiding from God because they felt ashamed. God says this to the serpent, "And I will cause hostility between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head and you will strike his heel." Now, if this doesn't make sense, I'll break it down for you. The offspring that he's talking about is Jesus. The woman's offspring is Jesus Christ. The snake is the devil, who is evil. All evil things in this world comes from the devil. He will strike your head and you will strike his heel. You see, being injured in the head is much more dangerous than being injured in your heel. That sounds like an obvious statement, but it's true. In the same way, the devil struck Jesus. He struck his heel. He died. He got him on the cross. That is what he's referring to when he says he will strike his heel. That's Jesus dying on the cross. But conversely, by doing that, Jesus is ending evil, vanishing evil from the world, defeating evil. That's what I'm trying to say. Defeating evil because of his sacrifice. That's crushing the head of evil. Crushing the head of evil while being bitten in the heel by dying on the cross. I hope that makes sense. God destroyed evil, even though evil only destroyed or grazed God. He barely injured him. And I think this is so cool because this prophecy about Jesus dying on the cross for you and for me predates all the way back to the beginning of time, the very first humans. This was God's plan all along, for Jesus to be the Savior who would defeat the grave. And best of all, it still holds true to this day, which kind of leads me to my next point. Because of the resurrection, Christ is still alive and is working today. How many people in this room have experienced God in your life? God's changed your life. He's spoken to your life. Look at all the hands in this room. Whether you've accepted God into your life, whether you've been saved by him, maybe God's answered your prayers, maybe God's healed you from something, maybe God's rescued you from something. all of the ways that God has worked in our lives, none of that would be happening if it wasn't for Christ's resurrection. You know, many of us know that God is resurrected and that Christ is alive, but we still act like we're worshiping a dead God. You know, where is our passion? God is still alive, and through the Holy Spirit, he is still here on this earth working today. The same God that defeated the grave 2,000 years ago is still alive today and is wanting to work in your life today. Man, won't we just embrace that? Why don't we just take that and not let it go to waste, not take it for granted, you know? Let's just, man. Let's just take advantage of that. Let God use you. Let God work in your life. Here's another thing we need to know. Because of the resurrection, we can spend eternity in heaven. Since Christ is no longer bound to the grave, neither are we. I like how John puts it. John 14, verse 19, it says, "Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Since I live, you will also live. Because he is alive, we are made alive in him." You know, I think it can be really easy to get caught up in where we are right now. It's really easy to get caught up in the world and to store our treasures here on earth and to focus on what we can get here on our time on earth. But man, there is so much more in your future if you just keep following God and you just keep living in the grace that he has for you. The treasures in heaven are far greater than anything you can get here on this earth. And it's all because, again, of Jesus' resurrection. You know, going back to Luke, one thing I really like about verse 12, back in like the resurrection story that we just read a few minutes ago, all the other disciples, when the ladies came up and told them about what they saw, all of the other ones kind of were stuck in disbelief and doubt and said, nah, that can't be. But not Peter. Peter ran. He ran fast, I imagine. He Usain bolted. Thank you, Alexis. Because of the resurrection, we can run to God. Here's the last thing you need to know. Just as Peter went insane to go see Jesus, we should also show urgency to respond to his resurrection. Just as God defeated the grave 2,000 years ago, God wants those dry bones in your life to rattle and to shake and to be built up again. God can and he will work in your circumstances if you just run to him and see him and experience him for yourself. Run to him because the resurrected God will bring life. You feel lost right now. You don't know where to go. Run to him because the resurrected God will bring life. You feel hopeless. You're battling with depression or sadness or anything. Run to him because the resurrected God will bring life. You feel sad? Man, run to him. The resurrected God brings life. You're dealing with an addiction. You can't seem to break. You can't break the chains in your life. Run to him. You feel bound to the weight of your sin. Run to him. You feel worn out. You feel exhausted. You feel burnt out. You feel like you can't take it anymore. Man, I feel you, and I understand. Run to him, because the resurrected God will bring life. Matthew 11, verses 28 and 29, it says, "Then Jesus said, 'Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls.'" Just as God worked a miracle back then, he can work a miracle today in your life. The things that we read about in this book, all these stories about people being rescued, people finding joy in their lives, people being redeemed, people being saved, people being healed. The same God that did all the stuff in this book is still working today, and he is still wanting to work in your life right here and right now. Won't you just run to him and see and witness his presence for yourself? I don't think you'll regret it. God is alive. He is, and through the Holy Spirit, you know, he's still here on this earth, and he's still capable of doing the miracles and the healings and the savings that you read about in the New Testament and the Old Testament. All that stuff can still happen because it's the same God, and he is still working today. You know, some of us here, you know, we may need, you know, maybe we're dealing with some stuff that's not fun, you know. Maybe, you know, we're feeling sad or hopeless, or things just aren't going our way. Maybe you're dealing with, relationship troubles, and it's just wearing on you. Maybe you're dealing with family issues, parent issues, you know. We all go through stuff, but I want you to know that, you know, God has not forsaken you. And he is still out to get you, and he still loves you. And I just want to encourage you all to run to him, whether it's your very first time in your life and you've never ran to Jesus before, or it's your 1,000th time and you've ran before. Man, run to him.